Welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul in Melody's Houston. Of course, is working other things today, so as usual, I'm here to try to do her job as best I can. But anyway, welcome to today's 25th day of May, 2022. I can't believe that we're just about through the month of May, folks. Can you believe next month? In the next month, be halfway through the year already. It's going by very quickly. This is Financial Survival, and I forgot to do the markets today, so you got to forgive me about that, folks. I'm so sorry. I'll try to get information up while we're listening to Wendy's information today. I'll get the markets up if I can. I'll do the best I can. Been kind of hectic. I won't get into all the reasons, but I just found out this morning I have to do a funeral tomorrow and all kinds of things. Been kind of busy, so please forgive me for not getting anything already in line for that. But without any further ado, again, welcome to the program. I got a lot of news covered with you in a little bit, but let's go to our guest that's always on with us on Wednesday. Let's go to Wendy Wilson with Apothecary Herbs. I think she's got another very interesting topic to talk about today. Wendy, welcome.
Oh, hello, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you, and hello to all the listeners out there. I thought we'd talk about this monkeypox a little bit and shed some light on its origin and its virility. And, you know, it's scarier than you think. From a standpoint of pox, monkeypox is really not as virulent as smallpox. So we're going to get all to that so that people are aware and know the nuts and bolts of it all. Because, you know, we've heard about monkeypox. You've heard about monkeypox. It's in the media.
Yes.
They're claiming cases in Europe and the United States and other countries. And so the COVID-19, you know, that's kind of, you know, worn out, right? So now we got the pox, the new plague. So what can we expect from this virus, and how do we prepare for it? So I thought that's a good idea to let people know. We've done some digging. We have some tactics to the pox, if you will. The National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease did publish some research on the smallpox in monkeys. This was in October 2004. And apparently the scientists discovered how that virus works on the molecule level to attack a victim. So they know how smallpox attacks a living host. So the pox virus family is pretty ugly if you look at it, but it's, you know, as far as diseases go, depends on which pox we're dealing with. So they often cause mass death when you're talking about smallpox. So the research is really hoping that, you know, all these findings will help them develop not only diagnostic tools, but voila, a vaccine, which they already have. All right. Here's the thing. Monkeypox, smallpox, does qualify as a bioweapon, according to science. Here is a quote from the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, Dr. Anthony Fauci. He says, in light of today's concerns about bioterror attacks, we have an urgent need to know as much as possible about the workings of the smallpox virus and other bioterror agents. This new research fills in some of the gaps in our understanding of smallpox. Now we have a better position to speed the development of a protective measure, which would be vaccine. Now, this is 2004, mind you, and Dr. Fauci worked on this research. And little did anybody know the role of Dr. Fauci and what he would play in the bioterror weapon area. But what the research is really telling us, Pastor Butch, is that science intentionally infected monkeys with smallpox to study the disease mechanisms on how it kills the host. They were also looking for a replicate of the disease in humans. So this related research that Fauci and was aware of by a Dr. Relman. Now, Dr. Relman did some research prior to this one in 2004, and he's a DNA microbiologist.
Wendy, excuse me one second. I almost step away from the mic a second. It's all yours. I'll be back in a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
It's all yours. Have fun. All right. Okay. All righty.
Okay. As Pastor Butch takes off, he'll be right back. But let's just say Dr. Fauci knew about some previous research that Dr. Relman, a DNA microbiologist, did. They were also stepping – these research studies by Dr. Relman were stepping stones to genetically create a monkeypox that would infect humans as well. And this was from the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So the molecule-level analysis on how the smallpox infects the monkeys and altered the gene expression pattern in the blood cells was pretty pivotal. So what Dr. Relman did is take the DNA microarrays from the natural smallpox smallpox, which is a disease science said was eradicated due to the global vaccine program. And then they documented the gene activity in the host cell of the virus when it had entered the host cell. So also they documented was the proteins in the monkey blood after the infection. So Dr. Relman and his team reported how the smallpox virus undermines the victim's defenses and that they wanted to fully understand the mechanisms in which the disease did that. So such knowledge in the wrong hands, folks, is a dangerous thing. Apparently, in 2004, the CDC facility of Atlanta, Georgia, was the only place smallpox research was permitted in the United States. But that was in 2004. Here is a quote from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, October 2004, when they said, "Previously, scientists thought it impossible for a smallpox virus to sicken any species other than humans." Uh-huh. Well, reports state that the monkeypox is not as virulent as the human smallpox version and can be studied at other laboratories with safety features. However, if the monkeypox has similar molecule features to the human smallpox, then we're going to have a problem. Yes, we are. Now, let's look at the testing that they did. This is November 2004. The National Library of Medicine Biotechnology Division, they reported a change of a strange cluster or outbreak of monkeypox in Wisconsin. See, folks, they've been working on this for a few decades. This monkeypox isn't something that just sprung up, you know. So the cases were reported May of 2004. And it may be a coincidence that the work done on the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease that same year was also on a monkeypox. But here it is springing up. The strange pox virus in Wisconsin later on the year. Here is a quote from the report. "The traceback investigations from the first case and the following cases show the introduction route of monkeypox." Well, what they did is the reports were trying to tie the monkeypox outbreak in Wisconsin to an importer of exotic animals from Africa. Yeah. Also from the report, they say there have been voice concerns of the use of monkeypox as a bioweapon for bioterrorism. National Library of Medicine, November 2004. Well, they're doing it. These people are doing, science is doing this. And an important note is that the National Library of Medicine in November 2004 report, they stated that Dr. Anthony Fauci was looking to replace the smallpox vaccine for people, especially those with weakened immunity. So that he's been working on this a while. And the thing is, if they eradicated smallpox, remember that, you know, I think in the 70s they quit giving 1-year-olds the smallpox vaccine because they had eradicated the disease. So, but here it is in labs, especially the CDC. Why would you want to hold on to a disease you've eradicated? Think about that for a minute. It's for a bioweapon purpose. That's why. Symptoms, according to the CDC, the symptoms of monkeypox, very similar to, and it's much milder than those of smallpox. So it's similar to the smallpox as far as symptoms, but it's not as virulent. So one difference also between the pox virus and the monkeypox makes, the monkeypox makes your lymph nodes swell a bit, so you get a little inflammation there. So overall, your symptoms would be fever, headache, muscle aches, backache, swollen lymph nodes, chills, exhaustion, a rash that can begin on the face and spread to the body, and lesions. So that's what you can expect from the pox viruses. So the virus, you know, runs its course in about 2 to 4 weeks. They say the fatality statistic is 3 to 6%, which means 300 to 600 people out of 1,000 can perish from the virus. It's estimated that one infected person can infect 6 to 9 other people. And the World Health Organization is stating there is a licensed antiviral agent that is already used to treat smallpox, and it's approved for the monkeypox as well. And the thing to remember is that the CDC and the WHO and other health authorities are stating that monkeypox is self-limited. Now, this is key. This is important. What does self-limited mean in medicine? This means the virus will run its course, and the prognosis is usually good for most people. You will survive it. So those with compromised or weak immune systems are going to have a more difficult time with any disease, not just the pox disease. And the severe cases occur usually in children, the elderly, and those with autoimmune disease issues. All right, so let's look at some complications that could possibly occur. Some people that have more, they're more susceptible to the pox viruses. They could also experience secondary infections, sepsis, which is blood poisoning, encephalitis, which is swelling of the brain, and also cornea infection of the eye, which also can risk vision. And the other thing to remember is, how is this going to be spread? Well, typically, your small or monkeypox is spread when a person comes in contact with the infected person and has direct contact with the blood, the body fluids, or the infected lesions. So usually a caregiver or family member may contract it once they're looking after somebody that's sick. So with human transmission, you would need to actually touch infected lesions, exchange body fluids through maybe kissing or sex, or get, you know, maybe a blood transfusion from an infected person. So getting bit by an infected rodent or other infected animal can also be an avenue for transmission of the disease, and for aerosol droplets to be a problem and spreading this infection, you would need to have prolonged exposure to those droplets. In other words, you'd have to be a health practitioner looking after an ill patient or a family member. So it's not like the standard flu bug. That's easy to catch. This is a little harder to catch. So we do have some options out there. So if the smallpox vaccine, which has, you know, lots of side effects, you know, if the vaccine is not something you intend to utilize, there are some medicinal herbs out there that are going to be very helpful. There's a herb called the pitcher's plant, and it has a natural inhibitor in the plant for the smallpox viruses. So if the virus is also of a hemorrhagic type, so there is a hemorrhagic type smallpox, which means the lesions, the little pustules, the sores would bleed. So if it's a hemorrhagic type, then you want to add the gentian root, which has an inhibitor for the hemorrhagic type of viruses, including Ebola and Marburg. So you can call the folks at Apothec Herbs. They do have the gentian root, and they soon, in the next few weeks, will have the pitcher's plant products. So they're working on that. So you'll have some options there. You can give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. If you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972, and get a free catalog from the folks, and you'll see how empowering you can be. Well, I guess, is Pastor Butch back at?
I am. I'm right here listening
awesome.
To you.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a couple of fill-in notes regarding smallpox mysteries. Did you know that Jenner, that was supposedly credited for developing the smallpox vaccine, he was supposed to have used cowpox. Do you remember that? Cowpox.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So, but when they went back to check the serum, there was no cowpox in there. It was just two viruses of smallpox in the serum itself. No cowpox at all.
Wow. I wonder how it worked. What did it, or didn't work, actually?
Well, you know, Jenner supposedly developed this in the 1700s, so that's what, you know, scientists are kind of scratching their heads and like, what's going on here? Does scientific medicine have the history wrong? Did somebody change the serum? Well, those are all possibilities, I would think. But there's no cowpox in the serum that they were given toddlers, the one-year-olds. It was two strains of smallpox vaccine viruses in there. It was a very complex envelope and of large quantities of the smallpox family of viruses in those serums. So you know, where's the informed consent with that one?
Absolutely. I mean, if you couldn't trust them back then, how much worse is it today, for goodness sake?
Well, I remember, didn't you remember when you were a kid and, you know, your parents were checking on the virus? My mom did. And so they were saying, oh, it's a sterile virus. It's very clean. There's no bacteria.
Yes.
So that was in, what, the 50s and 60s. And they have to keep some of that in the refrigerator according to FDA guidelines and stuff. So they have to keep a certain lot number available so they could go back to it and check if people got sick. So they went back and they checked these old lots from that time era, and they had better, stronger microscopes in the 70s and 80s. So when they looked at the serum under the microscope, it was totally filthy. Filthy. So it just depends on your equipment. It depends on your equipment. That's like saying, oh, this is completely hypoallergenic, no bacteria whatsoever. It's insane to say that. There's just no way you can keep 100% of bacteria out of anything.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, I just think people should, you know, have hope. God has some herbs here for them. The pitcher's plant and the gentian root, hemorrhagic fevers, smallpox stuff. I think we God's got it covered.
Well, absolutely. He always has. But, you know, he has ways to cure without any type of man-made medicine.
True.
If we just would understand what they were and done it. You know, I'm
right.
just reading yesterday about dandelions. Dandelions are a fantastic I guess natural supplement for a lot of things. I mean, it can lower blood pressure. It's a diuretic. It's all kinds of things in dandelion.
Right. And also, they found out it also kills all known cancer cells. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So Windsor Medical University research if you want to check it out. So, yeah.
I mean, that's phenomenal. It's right there in front of us. And we dig them up for weeds.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of things we neglect as weeds, like plantain will pull out snake venom.
Yeah.
Right out.
Yeah,
so,
plantain is, I mean, yeah. I have a book here on natural healing herbs, and I want to get more involved in myself if I can find the time to do it. I mean, it's time to go out. In the springtime, I was going to pick a few greens. I love poke greens and other things in the woods. So I try to do that every spring. This spring I've been really busy. But that's something I've always enjoyed doing. Not only do I like to eat it, but it's good for you.
Well, if you harvest roots, Pastor Butch, you want to do that in the fall, starting in September, because all the nutrition goes back to the root.
Okay? Like dandelion roots and all that. Okay. All right.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Well, we're having a Memorial Day sale, and so it's 30% off. The details on our website, or just give us a call at Apothecary Herbs at 866-229-3663 and be empowered. Hmm?
Amen. Thank you, Wendy. You're always a wealth of information. It's always fun talking to you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'll see you next week. You have a good weekend. A good Memorial Day.
You too.
All right, folks. Back at the break, folks. A lot of news to cover and the markets. Sorry about that, but I finally got a chance to get them. See you in a minute.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back. And if I sound a little bit discombobulated, it's because I am. Everything kind of hit all at once today, and I apologize. But, you know, when you're a pastor and you try to do things for the glory of God and help other people, sometimes you get something comes up on you that wasn't expected. And I certainly wouldn't expect to doing a funeral tomorrow and all those things. But nonetheless, we'll do the best we can for the glory of God and let the rest be taken care of by Him. Now we'll get to the markets and to the gold. And I'm sorry again for the delay. It just happened that way. Gold was down. Gold was a little bit down today, about $12. The 18.55.11. Silver's down 0.09%, but not quite a penny, at 22.03. Platinum was down $6 to 9.50 even. Palladium was up 14.50 to 2011.50. The USDX was up 0.29 to 102.14. And as far as the markets go, the Dow was up 191 points to 32,120. NASDAQ was up 170 points, so 11,434. And S&P was up 37 to 39,78. Now, the Dow has been going up, as you know, the last couple of days, but it's going to always go to regain where it was. So we'll see what happens. The overseas markets, all of them were up but Japan. The Nikkei was down 70.16 to 26,677. Hong Kong was up 59 to 21,71. London was up 47.26 to 75.31. Germany was up 88.74 to 14.07. So up days all but one market, and that's Japan. The 10-year yield was 2.75%. Oil was, of course, up, obviously, up 0.87% to 110.73. So we're not going to see a lot of slack in the price of gasoline in the foreseeable future at all. Matter of fact, if the people that are predicting the future in the price of oil are right, we're in for a tough summer, folks. That's all I can say. We really are. And speaking of summer, looks like 1 billion people are at risk of power blackouts as global grids are stretched. Now, this, of course, as I just said, global grids. And I have to wonder if the grids are stretched, and in the United States, too, we'll cover it in a minute, if all these grids are already stretched, how are they going to charge millions of cars? Do you think maybe they might plan on us not driving so much? Could that be part of the plan? How are they going to charge them when they can't even keep air conditioner on? But anyway, this summer, power grids worldwide won't produce enough electricity to meet the soaring demand, threatening more than 1 billion people with rolling blackouts. Grids are stretched thin by fossil fuel shortages, drought and heat waves, commodity disruptions, and soaring prices due to the war in Ukraine and the failed green energy transition, where grid operators retired too many fossil fuel generation plants. And folks, all I can say is too bad for them. That's part of the plan. Fossil fuels work, and they're not all that dirty. We know that. But they shut them down. We promised you we're going to make them up with green energy. It didn't happen. Do you think that's part of the plan, folks, to get us off and get us used to rolling blackouts? Would they do that to us? I think so. Combine this all together, and a perfect storm of blackouts threatens much of the northern hemisphere. The power crisis affecting a large swath of the world and top economies could be less than a month away when summer begins on June 21st. Regions that concern Bloomberg are Asia, Europe, and the U.S., where there's not enough power to go around when cooling demand is set to surge as households crank up their air conditioners to escape the sweltering heat. Asia's heat wave has caused hour-long daily blackouts, putting more than 1 billion people at risk across. So already Asia's into it, folks. America's turn is coming. I do understand that about the fossil fuels. They did this on purpose. Fossil fuels are plentiful. And they were doing a great job, but with the green energy nonsense, you know, all knew they couldn't make it work. That wasn't part of the plan. That plan was to get us used to doing without electricity, and that's exactly what's happening. And it's going to be much worse in some parts of the country. We know, if you listen to my broadcast, you've heard Deborah Tavares on there. We know there's no water shortage, no real water shortage. There's a water under the earth that would water this earth from now on for many, many, many millennia years. But people don't know that, so they're believing the lie. It's called the reservoirs are down. Doesn't mean there's no water supply. But this is something I want to share with you, because I think if you folks that live out in the West, in California especially, have better buckle up. Mid-drought, mid-energy crisis, California to begin removing hydroelectric dams on Klamath River. So they're going to take the dams away. What would that mean? Blackouts. The state of California is about to begin removing the first of 4 dams on the Klamath River, despite an extreme drought and a looming electricity generation crisis, to improve habitat for migratory salmon and satisfy Native American groups. As Associated Press noted early this year, President Joe Biden's administration reversed course after President Donald Trump's administration blocked the dam removal on California's second largest river, which was planned in 2016 after California and Oregon signed an agreement to demolish the dam, but still required federal approval. Now the demolition had been scheduled for 2023, awaiting only confirmation that dam removal itself would not harm fish. The San Francisco Chronicle reported Saturday the first of 4 aging dams on the Klamath River, the 250-mile waterway that originates in southern Oregon's towering Cascades and empties along the rugged northern California coast, is on track to come down in fall of 2023. Two others nearby and one across the state line will follow. The nearly half billion dollars needed for the joint state, tribal, and corporate undertaking had been secured. The demonstration plans are drafted. The contractor is in place. Final approval could come by December. The state has not built new reservoir capacity in 4 decades, while California's population has continued to grow, making the ongoing 3-year drought even more onerous. Moreover, the state has suffered blackouts and heat waves due to the lack of sufficient energy as fossil fuel power plants are phased out, along with nuclear power plants. Solar and wind power are not able to make up the missing power supply because they are unreliable in calm conditions and in overcast weather. Folks, we've been saying it all along. It just ain't going to work. We've let them cut our throat. We can say we cut our own throat by complacency. We bought the lie. A lot of people bought the lie. The left bought the lie. The liberals bought the lie that we need to. This is destroying the earth to burn fossil fuels. They're put here for that purpose. I'm not saying we can do maybe a little bit extra with the wind or sun, but it will not run the system. It cannot do it. With all the shortages they say are happening in the water supply, and the primary water supply is still there, they're setting us up for another fall, folks, another takedown. And I would urge you to pay attention. This has all been planned for a long time. This did not happen this past year, the past 2 or 3 years. This green energy debacle started ever since the first Earth Day and has multiplied itself to the point now it's a cancer that's destroyed our economy in a lot of different ways. And it's going to leave a lot of people wondering what happened to the good old U.S. of A. And that's true. Governor Newsom, bless his heart, warns Californians of mandatory water restrictions amid worsening drought. Now, you know, he and his aunt, Miss Pelosi, has our people's heart, well-being in their heart. You know that. California Governor Gavin Newsom has called on water associations to take aggressive actions to increase water conservation and warned that mandatory water restrictions may lie ahead this summer if the state does not significantly cut down its consumption. Newsom made the comments during a meeting with the leaders from the state's largest urban water suppliers, including those covering Los Angeles, San Diego, and San Francisco Bay Area, and water associations on May 23rd amid worsening drought conditions. Every water agency across the state needs to take more aggressive actions to communicate about the drought emergency and implement conservation measures, Newsom said. California has made significant changes since the last drought, but we have seen an uptick in water use, especially as we enter the summer months. We all have to be more thoughtful about how to make up to make every drop count. I'll bet you a nickel that he's not going to worry about his water consumption at all. I bet you follow him around, that just watch what he's doing. You see that he does nothing to change his water consumption. Oh, he may demand that his servants cut back for themselves. But Mr. Newsom, as the other lead, will not be cutting back on the water supply. To do as they've always done, to be extravagant in everything to do, because they can. We're feeding them. We're the ones who pay their ways. We're the ones who are living by with it, too, aren't we? Just go figure that one out. So we see Mr. Newsom is going to cut back on the people, but the water supply will be going for them, but not for him. Wow. Something to think about. On Monday's program, I mentioned about the MasterCard going cashless. You remember that, right? This is the article of the expose. Major supermarkets, now pay attention, folks, I didn't write this. Major supermarkets to ban paying with cash or card and only accept payments via digital ID and facial recognition technology. It's been back in the 1999 era when I would not do a digital picture on a driver's license. Drove without a driver's license for over 12 years, myself and a couple other people. And we survived. We still haven't got a digital picture on a driver's license. We knew that this was not the mark, the digital picture was not the mark of the beast, but it's part of the beast system. Very few listened, very few knew. And very few that we did tell didn't pay attention. But now we're seeing how this is going to play in to the beast system completely for finances, aren't we? If you can't pay except with digital ID and facial recognition technology, then they can cut off your privilege to buy. Think about it. All major supermarkets will very soon, now pay attention, folks, this is being said right now, all major supermarkets will very soon no longer accept cash or card payments and instead force customers to use their face or fingerprints to pay for essential items. It was another huge leap toward a dystopian cashless society. MasterCard recently launched a program for retailers to offer biometric payment methods like facial recognition and fingerprint scanning. At the checkout, users will be forced to authenticate their payment by showing their face or the palm of their hand instead of being allowed to pay by cash or with card with cash. The program is already going live in 5 San Marquis grocery stores in Sao Paulo, Brazil, with more trials also planned for Asia and the Middle East. MasterCard says it plans to roll it out globally later this year. Repeat that. MasterCard says it plans to roll it out globally later this year. The payments company wants to roll the program out worldwide for small and large retailers. Ajay Bala, the president of cyber intelligence at MasterCard, said, The way we pay needs to keep pace with the way we live, work, and do business, offering choice to customers, to consumers with the highest level of security. All right, now this offering choice. What choice? Either do it or you don't buy. That's a choice. Our goal with the new program is to make shopping a great experience for consumers and merchants alike, providing the best of both security and convenience. All the research that we've done has told us that consumers love biometrics. I seriously doubt that. Liz said did the research in China, and I doubt that the consumers are going to love the biometrics as a whole. I think they're going to say about 74% of people, about three-quarters of people want this. I don't believe that, although I probably shouldn't be surprised if they do, because especially the millennials, they're so used to everything being that way and so controlled. I guess it will make a lot of difference to them, will it? They're used to it already. As food protectionism spreads, India limits sugar exports, Malaysia halts chicken sales. Now, you say, well, they're not selling to us. Well, I don't know whether they are or not, but they're selling somebody. If they halt it to the nations they sell to, and they start looking other places to buy it, then maybe they buy from people that supplied us, and we lose supplies ourselves. Folks, this is a vicious circle, and it causes a lot of problems worldwide. Tuesday was a jam-packed day for food protectionism developments across Asia. India announced a sugar export ban, and Malaysia halted shipments of chicken. Like many others in the region, both countries suffer from high inflation. Each respective government and central bank seeks to suppress inflation, and what happens to be the move at the moment, besides raising interest rates, are protectionist measures. If inflation continues to run hot in these countries, the risk of socioeconomic turmoil increases. Today's events first began with India. Bloomberg reported that earlier that sources expected a sugar export ban was imminent. The Indian government announced a new trade restrictions late in the U.S. cessation. Following India's lead, Malaysia announced trade restrictions on chickens to curtail rising prices. We suspect more countries to announce protectionist measures to quell food inflation, though such trade restrictions will only exacerbate food worldwide. And that is absolutely the truth. It'll make it worse worldwide. As they cut back to the people they supplied, they'll cut back on the other folks will cut back on theirs, and they'll come back to us too, folks. There was a time we didn't need food imported. We fed ourselves. And that wasn't that long ago. It was in my lifetime. And I'm not 150 years old. It was in my lifetime, in the 50s and 60s, and maybe in the 70s, we could feed ourselves. We raised our own food, folks. We made our own clothes. We made our own cars. Imagine that. America was self-sufficient. We were energy self-sufficient up to the 70s when the dollar started being backed by oil. We promised the Middle East that we would use their oil, make them rich if they would back our dollar. So we started seeing that crumble. The one long after it, folks, we started seeing all the major industries heading south of the border, or east or west, wherever it went. But now we're in a situation where we produce basically nothing in our country. Basically nothing in our country. So you want to think about those things as you watch your nation's supply chain start to deteriorate, and you go into the store and you can't find what you want. If you can't find it, you can't afford it. You're going to wonder what Ross Perot talked about back in the 90s when he said it's a great sucking sound. You wonder about the NAFTA and the GATT treaties that everybody warned us about. But very few pay attention. And after all, the federal government did it. We trust him, right? Back at the break, don't go away. On the line, I need to be ready just one more time.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. We are back. We're back for the final segment this Wednesday, 25 May 2022. And by the way, I just remembered the day of my middle son's birthday, and I plumb forgot all about it. Ooh. Anyway, we'll move on. Best Buy earnings expected to fan inflation gloom gripping America's retailers. Best Buy. Expectations are running low for electronics retailer Best Buy Company. Quarterly earnings on Tuesday after results from two major industry players showed Americans were balking at big-ticket purchases due to decades-high inflation. At least five brokerages have cut their price targets on the company's stock in the run-up to earnings, which with some citing the surprising scale of the impact that prices pressures have had on consuming spending. Inflationary pressures are weighing on discretionary purchases, particularly among low-income consumers. There was also a material shift in consumption from goods to services, and demand for large ticket items appeared to have suffered the most from this shift, said Jason Benowitz, senior portfolio manager at Roosevelt Investment Group. Well, folks, that makes perfect sense to me. I'm not going to buy anything I don't desperately need right now, especially electronics. I'm just not going to do it. We believe these trends are likely to weigh on Best Buy's results and outlook when it reports. Retail behemoth Walmart and Target Group reported earnings last week that missed expectations by the widest margin in at least 5 years. Industry executives have said consumers were prioritizing essentials and shunning electronics in the inflationary environment, potentially spelling bad news for Best Buy, which makes money by selling iPhones, flat-screen TVs, and laptops. The company also faces pressure from ongoing supply issues with in-demand products such as Sony PlayStation, which is part prompted brokerage Tesla Advisory Group to deliver a steep $40 cut in the price target of $90. Best Buy's first quarter sales are expected to fall 11% to $10.41 billion, while this profit is expected to decline by 28% to $1.61 per share, according to IBES data from Refinitiv. So, yeah, this is hitting everybody. It's hitting everybody. Best Buy normally is a good place to get a good buy on electronics. But the money isn't there, folks, and we don't need it. Why justify it? It's like people went out and if they can afford it, more power to them. But trading cars, moving up in cars, if you got one that runs well, in my mind now, it's paid for. You better hang on to it. I mean, just think of car payments for the next 4 or 5 or 6 years with everything's happening in the market and finances. I don't even think about that. That's scary. Recession warning. Sales of new homes plunge in April. We knew this was coming also. New home sales fell 16.6% last month in revised March figures, according to the Census Bureau data released Tuesday. Sales of new single-family homes plummeted in April as rising mortgage interest rates and skyrocketing house prices took a toll on the market. New home sales fell 16.6% last month from the revised March figures, according to the Census Bureau data released on Tuesday. Sales were down 26.9% from April 2021. Wow. The April drop for new home sales is a clear recession warning, said Robert Dietz, chief economist for the National Association of Home Builders. The median price for new houses sold last month was 450,000, 19.6% higher than a year earlier. The average rate on the 30-year fixed mortgage was about 5.3% last week, according to Freddie Mac, up from 3.2% in the first week of January. Folks, I don't know how people can afford homes that cost that kind of money. I really don't. That's not certainly not for me to do. But the price, the home sales are going down because people, again, the interest rates are going up. People are having a tough time paying, or probably just paying what they have. So moving up sometimes right now, people are thinking about more than once. All of us, every one of us likes to improve ourselves, improve our conditions, and maybe a home or a better car. But sometimes it's wiser to just sit back and relax and make what you have last, is it not? Economy bigger priority than punishing Russia. This is interesting. Economy is a bigger priority than punishing Russia. Americans are becoming less supportive of punishing Russia for launching its invasion of Ukraine if it comes at the expense of U.S. economy, a sign of rising anxiety over inflation and other challenges, according to a new poll. They keep saying, folks, the inflation rate was skyrocketing before Russia touched Ukraine. So, good for Americans for saying that they're not interested in punishing Russia for this. Good for them. But this started before they went into Ukraine. While broad support for the U.S. sanctions had not faltered, the balance of opinion on prioritizing sanctions over the economy has shifted, according to a poll from the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. Now, 45% of U.S. adults say the nation's biggest priority should be sanctioning Russia as effectively as possible, while slightly more, 51%, say it should be limiting damage to the U.S. economy. I agree. In April, those figures were exactly reversed. In March, shortly after Russia attacked Ukraine, a clear majority, 55%, said the bigger priority should be sanctioning Russia as effectively as possible. Well, obviously, folks, it's starting to hurt because we just sent another $40 billion to Ukraine that we borrowed from China. Does that make sense to you? They're taking money we don't have, literally borrowing it, sent to Ukraine. Who do you think is going to have to stand good for that? I don't think it's going to be the politicians. I don't think Biden's going to worry too much about it. Biden, I don't think, has enough mentality left to worry about anything. It's sad to say, but just the way it is. And we're watching our nation being picked apart bit by bit every day. And I don't know how else you can say it. We've been bamboozled and tricked and all other things that over the last many 8 years, but this year in particular, and last year and 2020, even with the election being stolen, the people have been played like a fiddle, and that's just the way it is. In Davos, they meet in Davos, Switzerland this week. Soros says Ukraine may be start of World War III. I hope he's wrong, but I think he's right. Billionaire financier George Soros said on Tuesday that Russia's invasion of Ukraine may have been the beginning of World War III. So the best way to preserve, now pay attention, folks, the best way to preserve free civilization was for the West to defeat President Vladimir Putin's forces. Now, make a couple comments here. Do we really think we're free in the West? You think Americans are free today? I think most of y'all think that's an absurd statement, to say the least. But the West should defeat Putin's forces. Okay. Soros, 91, legendary hedge fund manager who earned fame by betting against the pound in 1992, cast the Ukraine war as part of a broader struggle between open societies and closed societies such as China and Russia, which were in the ascent. The invasion may have been the beginning of a third world war, and our civilization may not survive it, Soros told Davos, according to the text of his speech released by his office. Repeat that. Civilization may not survive it. Folks, God forbid if we went to a full-out nuclear war. Oh, my. Only God knows what would happen. I don't even want to think about it. The best and perhaps only way to preserve our civilization is to defeat Putin as soon as possible. That's the bottom line. So how do you propose to do that, Mr. Soros? Without nuclear weapons, how do you propose to do that? Soros said that Putin, who says the special operation Ukraine is going to plan and will achieve all the Kremlin's aims, now believe the invasion was a mistake and was preparing to negotiate a ceasefire. But the ceasefire is unattainable because he cannot be trusted, Soros said. The weaker Putin gets, the more unpredictable he becomes. Soros said the European Union had to understand that Putin could turn off Russia's natural gas. One more time. Soros said the European Union had to understand that Putin could turn off Russian natural gas, which currently accounts for about 40% of Europe's needs, while it really hurts. Of course it's going to hurt. I assume that he knows what he's talking about when he says we should take him on right now and take him down. I believe maybe he's a little bit on the, we'll say, optimistic side on that. I don't think that would be done that easily. And a World War III, folks, will not end, I'm afraid, with conventional weapons. It just will not end that way. It's going to go on beyond that. Especially to the side that sees they're going to lose. They have nothing to lose, so they just do what they do to defend themselves and spread more hurt around the world. Russian strategist tells TV pundit Ukraine war is rehearsal for NATO conflict. It goes on and on and on. For us, Russia, the war in Ukraine is a rehearsal for a possibly larger conflict in the future, a top political scientist warned on the Russian state TV talk show 60 Minutes. Alexa Finiko, a research fellow at the Institute of International Security Studies, told Olga Shabeva, the show's host, that the invasion of Ukraine was a testing ground, pay attention, a testing ground of military tactics and equipment for a much broader conflict, one that could potentially involve NATO. And that is why we'll test and go up against NATO weapons. And that is why we'll test and go up against NATO weapons. And we'll see on the battlefield how much stronger our weapons really are compared to theirs. Maybe it will be a learning experience for a future conflict, Finiko said. Show Sobieva interrupted Finiko, conveying how this is a terrifying experiment. The video clip of Finiko expressed his views of a possibly much larger conflict was first shared in the U.S. by Daily Beast's Julia Davis on Thursday. Meanwhile, on Russian TV, Professor Alexa Finiko, leading research fellow at the Institute of International Security Studies, said that for Russia, its war in Ukraine is a rehearsal for a much larger conflict. Finiko's comments came after Margarita Simonian, journalist at the editor-in-chief of RT, discussed the possibility of conflict outside of Ukraine and said a nuclear war would be okay because we're all going to die someday. Simonian added, war with Europe and the world was inevitable. I repeat that last statement because it's so important. Finiko's comments came after Margarita Simonian, journalist and editor-in-chief of RT, discussed the possibility of a conflict outside of Ukraine, that a nuclear war would be okay because we're all going to die someday. Simonian added, war with Europe and the world was inevitable. And I agree. It's prophesied. Don't look forward to it, but it is prophesied. It doesn't make you want to. It just doesn't take your mind off what could happen to your grandchildren, does it? Russia will strengthen the economic ties with China, corporate with Beijing on technology, Russian foreign minister says. Folks, China and Russia, we knew we were going to join up. That was inevitable also. It's going to happen. Matter of fact, many years ago, I had a gentleman on my program named Lindsay Williams who said, watch China. His elite friends told him to watch China. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said his country will focus on strengthening with ties to China, saying the two neighboring countries have common interests and can make technological advances together. Now that the West has taken the position of a dictator, our economic ties with China will grow even faster, Lavrov said, according to a transcript published by the Russia's Foreign Ministry. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov shakes hands with Chinese counterpart, folks. And they're going to make this thing work to grow both economies. According to Russia's state-run media, RT, Lavrov made the remarks while speaking to students at a high school in Moscow. Lavrov said Russia and China have common interests in international affairs, and the two sides can reap the benefits of working closely on technology. This is an opportunity for us to realize our potential in the field of high technology, including nuclear energy, but also in a number of other areas, Lavrov added. 3 weeks before Russia invaded Ukraine, Beijing and Moscow updated their bilateral relationship to a no-limits partnership following a meeting between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese leader Xi Jinping. The two leaders also declared that there will be no forbidden areas of cooperation between the two neighbors. Wow. Is America really foolish enough to think we can take on both of them? Surely not. This article, a lot of people will find shocking, especially those that are all about us invading Russia. They really think Russia is a bad guy in this. And they are bad guys. But Ukraine and America instigated this war. French former Marine returns from Ukraine shocked. French ex-soldier Arien Bacquet spent 3 weeks in Ukraine and what he saw there will be etched in his mind forever, he said. Once back home, he was dismayed to learn that the media keep inviting experts who had not been to Ukraine and had no idea what's going on there. Speaking to French radio station Sud Radio, Arien Bacquet said he had witnessed a lot of war crimes. All those war crimes were committed by Ukrainian soldiers and not by Russian soldiers, he pointed out. Bacquet is therefore enormously alarmed that Europe is sending weapons to Ukrainian neo-Nazis. They wear all kinds of Nazi symbols on their uniforms. They do not hide these symbols. What is more, they boast about them, he said. I worked with them and gave them medicine. Do you know what they said? That they would skin Jews or blacks if they had the chance. This certainly does not align with the mainstream narrative of saving democracy, he said, and our values in Ukraine. People can say whatever they want. I was there. I saw what happened there, emphasized Bouquet, who says he has made many dozens of videos of war crimes. He saw in a barn Russian prisoners of war who had been beaten up and tied up. Fighters from Azov battalion asked him who the officers were. Each Russian soldier was shot in the knees with a Kalashnikov. I have videos to prove it. Otherwise, I would not dare to say such a thing. Oh, my. We're out of time, folks. That was quick. Well, we'll be back with you on Friday. And Melody and Dave will be with you tomorrow. So have a wonderful night.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.